Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
Well, this morning's message is going to be a follow-up, a kind of a part two to what we talked about last Sunday when I talked about Matthew 25, 23. It's the words we all want to hear at the end of our life when we stand before our Heavenly Father, to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And it was based upon the parable. And I said that these words that God will speak to us has a lot to do with how we live our lives in being fruitful and multiplying. And so this message today deals with living a fruitful life by multiplication. How we take what was given to us, faith that was given to us, and how we grow in our faith to the point that we please God. And we hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," because the parable is based upon taking faith, the essence of being able to believe in God, and then multiplying it. Faith is hard. Do you know that? Faith is difficult. The Bible defines faith as, now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. How many people like to see stuff, like to touch stuff, like to feel stuff? We love the tangible world. We can control it. We can manipulate it. But when we get to faith, it is total confidence in something we cannot see. Has anybody in here ever seen God in all of his glory? We haven't, right? I've never even seen an angel, but I believe that they exist. I believe God created the world. All of this is stuff that I haven't seen. But yet I have this deep conviction. And the Bible says, unless I develop faith, it will be impossible to please him. For whoever draws near to God must first believe that he exists. I have to come to that place where I know there's a God. He does exist. And then secondly, and maybe even equally as important, I have to believe that God rewards those who seek after him. Have you been rewarded for seeking after God? I know I have. And so faith is this tremendous evidence of something we don't see. And I remember I talked about the Pharisees last week and how Jesus confronted them and said to them, "How can you believe when your whole system, your whole hypocrisy is based on receiving glory from one another? You've set up a system and you get pats on the back and everybody thinks you're so holy and so righteous and you receive your glory right here on earth because you put on a little show and everybody loves it. But you don't seek the glory that comes from above. Why don't we seek the glory that comes strictly from above? Because it's a lot harder. It's not seen. It's not fully understood. The seen road is about living for the temporal rewards and glory of life. You know, the more money I have, the more accomplishments I have, the better my lifestyle is, everybody will look at me and say, "Well, he made something out of himself." So I live for the temporal rewards and glories of this life. But to live a life of faith is I am living my life based on what is unseen. I am living a life that is totally different. My mindset is on how can I please God? And I don't even see God. How can I do what his word tells me to do? The mindset of a person of faith is completely contrary, actually, to a person who lives for the temporal. When Jesus wanted to talk about greatness and the greatness of faith, he used two examples. By the way, that should be a two, not a one. Who's great in the kingdom of heaven? Who's winning the game of heaven? Who is impressing God? Who will get the reward of "Good and well done, my faithful servant"? Jesus says, the greatest in the kingdom are people that have developed two mindsets. The first was this. You're a child. You have a childlike sense of life. You're just like a child. And the other is you have a mind of a servant. And by the way, this is not serving man. We get confused. We think, "Oh, I'll just be a servant to people." No, no, this is about you being a servant to God. But the greatness of a child is this. Listen, here's what Jesus said about the greatness of the kingdom and being like a child. "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." He says, whoever humbles himself, and the word humble is an interesting word. It means to be totally dependent, To be humble, it means I'm totally dependent. You humble yourself like a child. That is greatness. To be like a child, and children are totally dependent upon their parents. They're totally dependent. So greatness in God's kingdom is the idea of total dependence. Remember what God did to form a nation? He brought a bunch of people into a desert, and he says, I'm going to strip everything away. You're only going to have me. You're going to have to learn how to depend upon me and me alone. You see, we have a lot of things we depend upon. God says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, want to hear, well done, you're going to have to develop total dependence upon me. The other thing he says is you're going to have to learn how to be a servant. And this is the mindset of God. It's crazy. It's a crazy mindset. Who is greater, the one who reclines at a table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table, but I am among you as one who serves? So what he's saying is I'm reversing it. It's not about giving orders. It's about taking orders. It's not about getting your will done. It's about doing the will of another. Has anybody ever gone to a restaurant? Because that's the example he's using, a waiter. Waiter comes over to the table and says, what can I get for you? How can I help you? Wants to take your order. That's the mind of a servant. Have you ever gone to a restaurant where the waiter said, by the way, I'm going to be taking your order and bringing you some food, but you're not the only ones hungry. I'm hungry too. Would you guys mind running across the street getting me a cheeseburger and some French fries? No, the mindset of the waiter is, how can I serve you? And the waiter never says anything about you doing something for him. The waiter is there for one purpose, to serve you. And Jesus says, the greatest will have that mindset that all they think about is how, and if you look at Jesus, this is his mindset. Some people say, was Jesus a son or was he a servant? Was he the son of God or was he a servant? This is the stupidest question ever asked by anybody. Does anybody know the answer to this? Both! It's not even, see, Jesus said, here's the way he was totally dependent. This is Jesus, the son of God, talking to you. He said, I can do nothing on my own. I am totally dependent. This is Jesus. I can do nothing on my own. I'm totally dependent. And then he says, because I seek not my own will, but the will of, I'm a servant. I'm a child who's totally dependent, and I'm a servant. That's greatness. I'm a child. I'm totally dependent upon God for everything, and I'm a servant. God, what do you want? I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to do the will of one who sent me. Jesus was constantly meditating about this. One time he must have been fasting. He wasn't eating anything. The disciples were concerned. And they said, has anybody brought him anything to eat? And Jesus says this, my food, what I live on, the thing that brings me strength, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. I'm all about serving, serving, serving. Again, Jesus did not serve us. He served his Father. The Bible says this about Jesus. Although he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself and he took on the form of a servant. Jesus made being a servant greatness. And sometimes when people say, I don't know if I want to get really controversial here, but I always do this. People hate slavery. Hate it! And by the way, it's not right to put people into slavery. But Jesus said, the greatest in my kingdom is a slave. You see, something in our human nature goes, it's wrong to be a slave. Apostle Paul says, I am a slave to Christ. The mindset is, I no longer live for myself, I live for another. All right, you don't have to be great. You can do your own thing, slip into heaven, or you could really try to win this thing. You could really try to develop a faith in which this kind of thinking is actually your kind of thinking. You're not just playing a game. By the way, that number should be 3. So I keep going back. I don't know what happened to my numbers. They were there at one point. being fruitful. Here's Jesus' teaching. I'm the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, I take away. If you're not going to abide in me, if you're not going to multiply your faith, if you're not going to grow, eventually I just take you away. Because the whole idea of being in Christ or being a Christian is you've got to grow. You just can't stand still. You've got to learn. You've got to move forward. And if you do, every branch that does bear some form of fruit, that does do something that multiplies, he's going to prune you so that you can do more fruit. It's all about fruitfulness. You got to bear fruit. That is, you got to take what you have in the way of understanding and you got to do more with it. He says, you got to abide in me. Unless you abide in me, right? Abide in me and I in him, it's he that's going to bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's all about total dependence, like a child, upon God for everything. Did I already say this was hard? Yeah, it's hard. Let me share something that Jesus said that is actually absolutely remarkable. Not that everything he said was remarkable, but this to me is like this is interesting. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. You abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask anything. I'll do it. What does this sound like to you? A genie in the bottle. Thank you. You abide in me, my words abide in you. Whatever you wish. You only got one, I guess, but you just tell me. Let me tell you why this isn't the genie in the bottle. And the key phraseology is yes, we abide in Christ. Yes, we are Christians. This has to do with, you know, really being in Christ in a very deep, intimate way. But this here is the key. My words. My words. It's actually my rhema. There's two words for words. One is logos, which is common. And then, you know, about a dozen times the Bible uses the word rhema. And the rhema is different. If the rhema abides in you and you ask things according to the rhema, you will get whatever you're asking for because you're asking for something that is already his will. See, being faithful and growing in faith to what God has already revealed to you, the rhema, that should be four. Here's rhema. Here's the definition of rhema. That which was uttered by a living voice, the things that were spoken. These are things that were spoken to you, and I hate to say this to you, it's not just reading your Bible and just saying, okay, I got a couple scriptures here. That's important, but this is personal. This is God telling you what he wants. I don't know how he does it, but it's something that he gives you. This is the word rhema. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema, the word of God. This is like a sword. This is what you do battle with. This is what you live by. The rhema, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, and the devil says, you just command stones to become bread. And Jesus says, no. It is written, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema. I live by what God tells me to do, what God instructs me to do. I just don't willy-nilly create bread just because I'm hungry. I wait for God to say, this is his will. I live by rhema. Let me give you another example of this. This is Jesus and his disciples. Well, actually, this is what Jesus said. And this is why rhema works for us today. This is why rhema is really for us today. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. This is rhema. You have a connection with God. He is going to speak to you, and when he speaks to you, he's not doing that by his own authority. When he speaks, he's going to clear to you things that are to come. Things that are to come. This is not the Bible. This is your life about things you need to know about. This is rhema. Why is that important? Because if God tells you something and you obey it, you will multiply. This is Jesus telling Peter and the rest of the disciples how to fish. He says, put out into the deep and let down your nets to make a catch. And Simon said, Master, we've toiled all night, and we took in nothing. But at your rhema, at the authority of you saying, put down our nets here, we're going to do it. At your rhema word, we will put out your nets. And we know what happens. Fruitfulness. You want to be fruitful. You want to see God do miraculous things. Obey what he tells you. And when they had done this, of course, there was this amazing catch. The rhema of God, when obeyed by faith, doing what God says by faith, there's multiplication. Remember this, when Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this. My Father, this is rhema. Rhema revealed this to you. And so immediately when he gets this revelation, he says, I'm going to build my church on rhema. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell can do nothing against rhema. When I reveal something, when my Father reveals something. And then immediately he says to Peter, now I'm going to give you keys. So you got one thing right. You know that I'm the Christ. You understand rhema, a revelation. You speak it forth. Now I'm going to give you keys. In other words, one form of correct authority and understanding will lead to more. This is the first time that Jesus says, now I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind will be bound on earth. Whatever you loose will be loosed. I don't have time to go into all this. But what I want to show to you is that when you obey one thing, you get another thing. There's keys in the kingdom. I'm going to just give you this one scripture here about what keys are often used symbolically in the Bible. The key of knowledge. He told the Pharisees, you have taken away the key of knowledge. God revealed something to you, and you're not using it to enter, nor are you allowing other people to enter in. You are doing nothing with the knowledge that you have. You're not using it, and you're not allowing other people to use it. Anybody ever done an escape room? They're fun, aren't they? I would never have done an escape room, but our grandson last year for his birthday said that's what he wanted. So my wife and I, along with Ethan and a friend of his, we did an escape room. An escape room, if you've never done one, is all about finding keys. You're in a room like this, right? And there's like one clue, and you're looking for a key. And once you find that key, there's usually another clue that tells you what it unlocks. And when you unlock that box, whatever, there's another clue, right, that leads to another thing that sets forth another thing. And if you don't follow, like being obedient to what this tells you, to then be obedient here, you'll never get out of the room. One key leads to another key, which leads to another key, which then gets you out. And I believe in God's kingdom is very similar. He'll reveal one thing to you, and he'll wait for you to be obedient. And you're like, God, tell me about this. Tell me about that. God says, no. What did I already tell you? Do that. I can't tell you how many times I've never gotten out of a room. Because I never fully grasp or obey the one thing that he told me to do. Let me show it to you another way. Remember, light and knowledge are very similar. And he says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. You got a light, you understand something, you don't hide it, you put it here, you multiply, and everybody, and look what he says here, take care how you hear, for to the one who hears, more will be given. You understand one thing, you solve one thing, you have light, illumination on one thing. Well, guess what? Now you can understand something more. When I realized I was called to preach, I was about 19 or 20, and I realized I was called to preach. I built a pulpit, right? And I bought a notebook, and I put the notebook on the pulpit. And I said, how do I make a sermon? Because I have no idea. And then I tried to put a message, and I said, I can't do this. I had to obey God and walk in the little light that I had, and that little light led to a little bit more light, which then led to more light, which then, take care how you hear, pay attention, listen, hear, and once you hear and obey, more will be given. It's called the law of use. I use what I have to get to the next level. And so you say, well, how do I, okay, let's say that I obeyed, and let's say that I'm abiding, you know, and I want to grow in my faith. Oh, by the way, that should be, I don't know what number that should be, but I've lost track. I'm going to have somebody else do my notes. I'll preach it, but I have to have somebody else put them together. So prayer is the key to being fruitful. Jesus says, abide in me, my rhema, what I've told you, abide in you, and you can ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. And the reason why I tell you this is because Jesus was very concerned about his disciples growing in faith, and he would send them out on missions. And one time he sent them on a mission to cast out a devil, and they couldn't. And they came back and said, why couldn't we cast out that devil? Why couldn't we have your power and authority? And Jesus says, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. In other words, you haven't prayed enough, you haven't abided enough, you haven't been in me enough to be able to even do that. You see, Jesus, although he was God, continually went away. He left the crowds and he would withdraw to desolate places to pray, to be charged up, to be given rhema, to be instructed by his Father, constantly thinking and pondering, Father, what do you want me to do? What are you revealing to me? And I thought about a cell phone. And by the way, these things aren't, I don't have my cell phone. Cell phones aren't really cell phones, are they? Smartphones? They're computers. They can take pictures. You can surf the internet. You can buy stuff. You can text. I mean, you can do FaceTime. These are not phones. These are smart computers that you carry with you everywhere you go. And they can do a plethora of things. But what happens when they run out of battery? They're done. It's over. As smart as they are, if they have no power, they're useless. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying. There's a multitude of things you can do and should do, but you have to make sure that you're charged fully. You have to make sure you're fully abiding in me and you know my words. Here's what Jesus said. If you abide in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from being connected. Apart from being, the Holy Spirit is the battery. We connect to the Father, our batteries are charged, and we go out and we can do a lot. And somebody says, well, this sounds really hard. To live a life of total dependence, to live a life in which I'm a total servant. And faith is hard. Go ask Abraham. Abraham had it made in the shade. He saw everything. He had everything. Beautiful house, beautiful wife, beautiful land, beautiful flocks. And one day God says to him, leave. And he left. And look what it says here. And he went out not knowing where he was going. God said, leave. I'm leaving. That's the rhema. I don't know where I'm going. But I'm going. I'm going to leave everything and go nowhere in particular. I don't even know where it is. And by that, he went out and he had inherited all the promises. Faithfulness here led to him being the father of many, many nations, many people. Closing with this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask whatever you want. Listen, by this, by the abiding and by the receiving of my word, by this the Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and prove that you're a disciple. Not just say I'm a Christian, but you prove it by obedience. God revealed something. I did it. Now I have more. Now I'll do more. Now I'll do more. Now I'll do more. You want to hear good and well done, my faithful servant? You've got to be faithful. Jesus said, now who possibly will possibly do this? And here's what it says. I've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. Wise and intelligent people won't do this. Wise and intelligent people are too busy being wise and intelligent. The thing I got to do is I got to reveal this to children, simple-minded people. Yes, Father, it was your will that you reveal this to children. And I guess if you're here listening to my voice, you qualify. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you that you reveal yourself to children. Father, we thank you that you reveal yourself to people who are servants, who come to you and say, God, what do you want? Give me your order so that I can serve you. I'll bring you what it is you want. Speak a rhema to me and I will do it.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.